Well, welcome here today. If you were listening well to instructions out there, you know that you are in the topic on listening well. If not, you may leave and go to where you want to be. I intend to listen well today in this workshop, which means that you're going to need to do some of the talking. My wife was especially interested that I received this, because I think she knows as well as anyone it's something I can grow in. And some of the things that I've learned that I hope to share with you are just an encouragement to us to listen well. Why do we listen? In class, at home, here, why do we listen? What are some reasons? To learn.
To hear others.
Hear.
Other people.
Yeah.
Other people's ideas, maybe. Their
ideas.
Or you shouldn't learn anything new when you're talking.
That's an interesting observation, but you know, you can't take in information through your mouth. Coffee, yes. Chocolate, yes, but not information. Appreciate that. Let's write those two things down in your first blank. They must have been coffee here. But to learn, or you could say to grow. I'm sorry? Yeah. Are there still? You know, one of the keys to humility, to being a good teacher is humility. One of the keys to listening is humility. We listen so we can learn. And we listen, you mentioned to hear others. When I hear, I'm convinced that sometimes my students hear me, but it really doesn't have much impact on them. To understand others. If you look there on your handout, there's one more thing. The reference that goes with it is in Proverbs 15. He who answers before listening, that is his folly and shame. As a teacher, one of the reasons that you're listening is so you can give a good answer. And so often today, it seems like we're emphasizing listening so much that we almost overlook the responsibility to give a spirit-filled answer. That case in point, you're trying to help someone who's struggling, and so you just listen to them. Now, we're going to talk about it later. Sometimes that is what they needed right then. But sometimes we think after we've listened, we're done. Maybe God wants to use you in some additional way. I mentioned that listening isn't necessarily one of my strong points, so I was asking lots of people. Any points on listening? And I think it was Brother Bradley here gave me a good illustration that he heard somewhere that will resonate with at least this part of you all. If any of you have driven a combine or a baler, they said compare listening in a classroom to when you're driving that combine or baler. Now, as years have gone by, it's a little different than it was when I started driving combines and balers. Now you've got monitors and lights and gauges and all that. But even today, When I'm driving a combine or a baler, I'm listening. That tells me almost more than the monitor and the gauges do. I want to hear that combine or the baler pulling down on that engine just a little bit. So I know that we're operating at peak efficiency. And I'm listening too for that squealing of a bearing going bad. Or the thumping of something being out of balance. You get the connection between that and teaching. You're listening all the time. You want to be operating at peak efficiency. Now, I think I'll just tell you a little story that was probably one of the most clear wake-up calls that I had while teaching regarding listening. Let me just tell you how it happened. It was on a day when I chose to have what we called a handicap day. And the agreement was we come to school in the morning and here is the box. You pull out of the box your handicap for the day and you must remain handicapped at least until first break. After that, it's an option for you. Okay? So if you had a broken finger on your right hand, you either had to write with your left or figure out a way to write with your right hand. If you had a broken leg, you were in a wheelchair all morning long. One of the issues that was in that box was blindness. So it was one of those things where the teacher didn't fully think through all the implications. And when the students asked me, "Mr. Miller, are you going to be handicapped too?" I said, "Yeah." I pulled blindness out. And so it was an awkward moment, and I did some quick thinking. So we came up with a plan. If you need help, you may snap your fingers. So we went on with singing. We went on with what I knew I was going to speak about for devotions. And then we started class. We had math class first. And it wasn't long before. So I had a stick and I tapped my way over to their desk. So I said, "Read it to me." So they read it to me. And then I said, "Well, can you read to me the part in the directions where it talks about that?" "You mean right now?" "Yeah." "Well," and it was quiet for a while. And they'd start reading. But here was the interesting part about how many times we repeated that scenario that morning. They'd start reading, and you know the words that I heard most often that morning? "Oh, never mind." And you know, we're all teachers, right? And so we think to be teaching, we have to be doing this. But many, many times, it's better to ask them the questions and help them to be doing the thinking instead of me saying, "Well, see here, this is how you do it." It was right there in their directions, especially those of you who are teaching upper grade classrooms. Remember that. Just one more illustration along those lines before we continue. I know that this year we're having a student in school with special needs. It's a rather unique situation, so I made an effort to go to Brother Aquila's class yesterday. And it was interesting. I went because I knew that I was going to have this issue. But I'll tell you this, if he's here next year, then I'll be able to get more out of his class, and I'm going to have questions for him, and I'm going to take a lot more home next year than I did this year. And the way that applies to your classes, in my experience, I have multiple grades in my classroom, and I have them get started in the mornings. I generally start with the youngest grade in my classroom, but the others are supposed to read their directions and get started with their lesson. And the interesting thing that I've observed with that is generally they're more ready to listen because by now they've figured out where they need help. Before, I was telling them something, yes, I know I'm going to need that information in the future. But if they've already had a chance to look at their lesson, they're ready to listen. And that's the place where we're going to be. Good times to listen. When your students are asking questions. So I like to listen to what they're asking, how they're asking it. One way to listen effectively is to have your students give page number and problem number when they ask their question. Now, for those of you who don't have multiple grades, that might not be as important. And for those of you who have better hearing to begin with than I do, that might not be as important. But for me, if they tell me number 42, page 51, I can go there and see exactly what we're talking about and give them my undivided attention. So listen when the students are asking questions. Have them give subject, page, and problem number so you can give undivided attention. Listen. It says during this and this, what do you suppose those next blanks are? I'm going to say during recess and lunch break.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if I said it during the little topic on parent teacher meetings last night, but I've already told parents, you know, I won't believe everything the students say about home if you don't believe everything that they say about school. Come to a little agreement like that. But listening during those times just helps you get a feel for attitudes, for maybe some things that you didn't realize were problems that might be a problem. Just listen during those times, or prime time. Listen when you're at the board or having class or helping a student. Listen for sounds that should not be there. Or maybe things get extra quiet. That happens sometimes too. But you know, I get to writing on the board and I'm excited about what I'm writing about. Be listening. Listen well. That's why first and second graders think that the teacher has eyes in the back of their head. It's because they're listening. When you're helping a student, position yourself so that you're not helping like this, so that you're helping like this, to where you can watch and listen at the same time. The other thing, did you know you can listen while you speak? How might you communicate to me in a way that I can understand while I'm speaking?
Facial expression,
exactly. Anything else? Yeah. The body language, if you will. I get to speak at church occasionally. And well, it's a little bit like this. Looking at adults, you can read quite a bit. So listen while you speak. How are your words affecting them? The Holy Spirit can help us to discern attitudes beyond just the words that people say. Listening while you speak. I had a man tell me recently, you know, our dad talked to us a lot. Did you hear that word, too? He said, Dad did about all the talking. And I wish, I want to be the kind of dad that can pick up on that and say, you know what? All I hear is my own voice. And we've been talking more about things to listen for in the classroom, but you know, I want to help my students beyond just the classroom. But that, I found a little quote that I like here. It says, without believing that gold exists, the dirt in people wouldn't be worth sifting through. As you listen, you know. But what we heard about caring the other day. One of the things that I like to listen for when a student comes to me with a problem, and I'm thinking now more of a problem outside of math and history, I'm thinking more of a problem with, he's not playing fair. Or she's saying rude things. I think some good questions to look for. Notice I wrote here, when a student tells his story, is he in it? Just in those two illustrations I just gave, was the student in any of that tattling? He's not playing fair. She just said something rude. She's saying rude things. Mm-hmm. I mean, they didn't even say, he kicked me. When a student says things like that, then it's time for you to ask questions and do a little bit of listening. Mm-hmm. So, what happened? What were you thinking and feeling? How were you involved with this? Okay, let's get, since this is an important item for us to talk about, how were you involved with this? So what did you do? Why did you do that? How'd that make you feel? How'd that make them feel? So we want to get them to where they can answer some of their own questions. Appeal to their conscience. That's another one of your blanks there. Especially if you have older students. Bring this around to help them see their heart in this matter. I had a couple of high school girls years ago, and at that point, we only had one place for them to do typing. And you would think that with two people, it would be fairly simple to organize a system where each person has enough time to type. And at that point, we had it where they could also take it home. Whew. It wasn't that way. Caused some real issues. Now the tempting thing to say is, well, who had it first? Or you take it for 10 minutes and then you take it for 10 minutes. Or if you two can't figure out a way to get along on this, then nobody's going to type for a while. But you know, none of those three things dealt with the heart issue of selfishness. And so as we talk, let's try to draw that out of them to help them to see for themselves what that heart issue is. acknowledge truth. And this might be more when mom or dad comes to me and says, you know, we feel like you haven't been fair. We feel like you have been a bully on the playground, whatever it might be. If there's truth in it anywhere, acknowledge that truth. That's that humility we were talking about. As we're listening to people, listen for attitudes. We mentioned that briefly. I used to do quite a bit of hunting. I grew up in Kansas. And we would hunt. And especially after a snowfall, I enjoyed hunting because you could see what was there. Especially when I was younger, we used to hunt rabbits. Well, now there's an interesting thing about rabbits and snow. After a fresh snow, you can see where the rabbit went. And so I would hunt and I'd scare up a rabbit. And unfortunately, my marksmanship wasn't always that great. I might shoot at him, but he kept right on running. But the interesting thing was, I could go to the next patch of trees, and if the tracks went in there, the rabbit was in there, unless the tracks went out the other side. Now, the thing that I'm trying to help us see is, when you're dealing with attitudes, there are some things. Envy is one. Pride is another. They're terribly hard to pin down. But if the tracks are there, then the attitude's probably there. You know, let's take jealousy, for instance. It's really hard to speak kindly about that certain person. Why is this person always talking like that about their classmate? Why does this person have so much problem with being happy? Why does this person always want to say something about them? Well, those are tracks that you want to watch for. Many comments. Now, go ahead.
Just one thing about listening to the students. An illustration. Every other Thursday in our school is student divisions. While I was dealing with this problem, and I was not sure how to tackle this problem, what should I do about this? Well, one of the boys that was having the student divisions gave this illustration. And would you believe it? It was the issue that I was dealing with and not sure what to do with it. Student division, yes, it gets a teacher off the hook for one day, but even more than that, I was going,
dook. Yeah.
Now I know I'm going to go. He tipped his own hand, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But, and I was going, okay.
Yeah. Excellent. And it's one of those cases of getting them to talk. Teach your students to listen and give them opportunities to practice. Do this right now. Write the number 743 at the lower left corner of your paper and pass your paper to the person on your right. Okay, you may pass them back again. It made you go gulp for just a little bit, I thought, but most of you handle it pretty well. But your students, when you say, come for class, the response should be that quickly. When you give them a number of instructions, you notice right there I gave you three instructions. And you followed them pretty well. Do little things like that with your students sometimes. Just give them listening practice. One of the things that we often do before lunch, I say, okay, put your books away. And then I'll say a list of numbers. And when I stop talking, they're supposed to give me the answer. Let's just try it here. As soon as I stop talking, you give me the answer. 25 divided by 5 times 4 plus 4 divided by 6.
4.
Good. Good. You're almost as good as my students. Do little listening exercises like that. Let's, on the other side of your paper, there's one. Listening to your co-teacher. How many of you know that you or plan to have a co-teacher this year? Well, good. Most of you aren't the only teacher in your school. Under listening to your co-teacher, I wrote respect time. You may enjoy sitting there either listening to them or having them listen to you for long periods of time after school. Respect the time. And instead of saying don't talk too much, my counsel here would be when you look back on the amount of time that you talked after school today, do you feel good about it? I say that because there are some people like me, I just love home. There's something about home that I like. And maybe I should say someone. But anyway, I have a set of answer keys at home. So after school, I put all my books in a big box, carry it out to the truck, and go home. And then my wife helps me score. But consequently, sometimes I don't talk to my co-teachers and listen to my co-teachers as much as I should. So be able to look back and say, yeah, we respected each other's time. We spent enough time to communicate well. Give undivided attention. If this is something that your co-teacher really wants to talk about, don't continue scoring while you, unless there's two of you in it, a pretty casual thing, and but for the most part, I like to talk when it's time to talk, and then focus. It's a discipline thing. Ask questions of your co-teachers, especially. Remember, we said to help me understand. I wrote here that my hearing aids are blue. I've noticed that some people have pink hearing aids, if you know what I mean. Well, let me just give you a little example. For those of you young men who are teaching with young ladies, this can actually be fun instead of frustrating. But I wish I would have practiced this a little more. So you ask your co-teacher, where did you get these markers? You want to know what store she bought them at, right? I mean, what? And she asked, why, what's wrong with them? Or she comes to you after school, and this is a true story. What do you think about recess? It was a pretty good softball game at lunchtime. But I know there's more to it than that. So if you all, I know it takes a lot of courage, but if you all, as much as you can, since we're listening anyway, say what you mean. Okay, Rosa, are you taking notes? Okay, just tell me. I'll try to just handle it. Okay, straight up. I appreciate that when you and the other thing, and this happens often with discipline problems when two of you are talking together, and this even with a couple of sisters talking together. Sometimes as teachers, we simply need to just debrief a little bit. We need to talk over our day. A good question for you all to ask is there something you would like for me to do about this or help with this? You know, if she comes and oh, my classroom is just way too small. We hardly have enough room for, I can hardly squeeze between the desks. And so you walk out and then you go over looking in the storage room and, you know, wouldn't take much. That's not a load-bearing wall. We could move that over 4 feet. And you go back in and you say, you know, we could move this wall back. And she bursts into tears and says, you can't mess up my classroom. But just keep listening. Try to understand. Be as clear as you can. Ask, is there something that you would like for me to do? Because often we can help in certain cases. Conversation killers. Let's not go through that list right now. Just tell me some good ways to make so that the person that we're supposed to be listening to realizes you're not hearing me. You're not understanding. You're not really listening. What are some killers like that?
Self-help.
Say it again.
Self-help.
Thank you.
Slowly inching towards the door.
You're giving me a guilty conscience.
What did you say?
A guilty conscience.
When it's obvious you're trying to formulate, I mean, you're trying to give your reply. You're not really listening. You're just like, just let me talk.
Excellent.
Well, you mentioned the scoring while you're talking.
Okay. And that there can be quite a number of distractions, things that distract you. I was visiting with someone the other day, and teachers are supposed to be time conscious, right? Well, I wasn't. But the person I was visiting with just kept, oh, he's fidgeting, and I can tell there's nobody home. Well, it was already time for class to start. And I was standing there running at the mouth. But I could tell. We're not, and so that what's another here? Well, I'll tell you a way to show that sometimes we don't listen. We were having Thanksgiving dinner with aunts, uncles, cousins, and grandpas. And my sister wasn't talking as much as my sister usually does. She was doing something under the table. And finally someone said, Gina, what are you doing? And she said, do you all want to know how many times you've interrupted each other in the last 3 minutes? It was embarrassing. It was like 163 or something. But my point is, good listening includes letting them finish and then also on their Bradley said, oh, a conversation killer is think carefully about your response while you're waiting for them to finish talking. Don't do that. I read in that book, Getting Along with People God's Way, John Copeland says, after listening well, don't be so overtaken with the desire to respond that you stop listening. Mm-hmm. There's just a few few things that somehow in our culture have come to mean I'm tired of listening to you doing this. Now, I've learned, my wife gets cold easily, so when she does this, I don't feel like she's shutting me off. But sometimes, just watch for signals that I'm not feeling real comfortable with what you're saying. Avoiding eye contact is another thing that can keep us from understanding each other. There's, that second one, look at your phone. Someone mentioned that. And I think today, that's so important. Have you ever noticed how when you're talking to someone and their phone dings, it's just really hard for them to focus. Often I just say, okay, go ahead, look at it. Let's get that behind us and then we'll continue. Yeah, it's just... the R word there. I'm thinking especially here, if you've been listening to someone for a while and probably they've been telling you something that's wrong with you. What do you think is a poor way to keep that conversation going? It starts with the letter R.
Rebuttal.
Okay. Same idea. I wrote react. But you rebuttal, react, argue, in other words. I'm not as bad as you say, or you're worse, or whatever. It's we want to respond, yes, but react, no. Listening well includes repeating back what they have said. So what I hear you saying is this. Identify their feelings. Don't just dismiss them. Say, I'm glad you told me, if you are. But you know, we had a preacher at church recently who said, in any situation where a brother comes to you with a concern about you, try to find the element of truth in it. If you don't, you won't learn anything. You won't grow. Try to find that element of truth. Say, I'm glad you told me. This one applies not just with co-teachers, not just with students, but in about any setting. Listening well includes not fearing. What are you thinking? I'll give you a hint. Jesus did it.
Silence.
If there's a problem that I have as an upper grade teacher, it's not waiting long enough for them to formulate their answer. They're upper graders. I understand you wouldn't want to give an answer that would be wrong in this class. But if it's difficult for you, think back just a few years when you were 13, 14. You don't want to be wrong. And so you're hesitant to get involved in this discussion in the first place. But I tend to... it's getting quiet for a long time. Okay, I'll just fill up the silence. So in class time... give plenty of time to talk. But let's go to a situation where you're dealing with some issue, especially, well, any age group, really. You ask the question, then stop talking and give them time to respond. I don't know what would have happened necessarily if those people who were accusing that woman, if Jesus would have just kept on dumping truth on them. But what he did was let that silence become painfully long.
Mm-hmm.
And it was effective. They were thinking. One of the things that listening well includes is talking in person. We live in a day and age when a lot of people text. In fact, now you're getting to where some of the parents of your first graders, at least, will be fairly used to texting. Especially with discipline issues, I would just encourage you, talk face-to-face. You know, it's the same distance from your desk out to the car as it is from the car into your desk. So don't say, well, they never come talk to me. You go talk to them. Face-to-face is the best way to communicate. One of the brothers was just telling me they were doing Bible school applications, emailing some things back and forth to a person that they really didn't know. And the minister on this end sent a response saying, I resent your email, and if you can't open it this time, look in your spam. And she wrote back, I am so sorry I offended you. And he was like, look at this. What makes her think that I offended him? You know, and anyway, long story short, she read resent as resent. I resent your email. And she was very intimidated, and it took a little bit to get feelings and everything fixed up again. Just as much as you can, talk face to face, show respect. And did you know, listening is showing respect. If you listen well, that's showing respect. Mm-hmm. I want to talk just a little bit about listening to parents. I mentioned this last night. Parents and teachers are not communicating, or like two industries manufacturing rocket components without communicating. Remember, your authority is a delegated authority coming from the parents. Try to enforce something worthwhile that they don't endorse is almost noble. I've used the illustration of what constitutes bad language, for instance, or what constitutes the way they should dress when they come to school. What constitutes ways of greeting each other, good ways of greeting each other in the morning. Those things, we need to talk to the parents. If posture and music, for instance, are things that are way high on my list of values and not so high here, it tends to frustrate. The parents need to exercise a lot of patience with the teacher. The teacher gets frustrated. The students aren't sure where their loyalty should be. But listening and being very sensitive to those kind of things will help you navigate that. Resist the temptation to defend yourself. Yeah, but talk in person, never text about the important issue. We talked about that a bit. Remember, your mouth can't take in wisdom. What are some other listening examples or listening issues that you can think of today?
The one that I've struggled with is taking a load from a parent, so to speak, and it goes straight to the wrong part of my brain. And the parent is venting frustration and kind of speaks about the school, but I take it as me. And I had a couple of really interesting months. And it was interesting. Or I guess it was the division between me and just the school.
Okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
We take it personally.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just remind us, that verse in Proverbs says, he who answers before listening, that is his folly and shame. So let's listen, so we can give a good, humble, Holy Spirit-directed answer. And I think the other thing that I'd like to just leave you with is don't fear silence. It's one of your best listening tools. All right, thank you for your help today.